Okay, this is the first lecture about multiculturalism and diversity in Britain. And I want you to start with some key concepts. I'm not going to give you all the answers about these key concepts because they're very complicated. But the important thing to remember about them is that these are important concepts and they sometimes have contested meanings. And you know about this because it happens in French politics as well. You know, somebody will say, oh, well, I think that because of laïcité, we must do this. And somebody else will say, oh, no, that is not the meaning of laïcité. It has a different meaning. Yeah, that laïcité is a contested concept. People have a different opinion about what it means. And that's the same with some of these here. Some of them are not so contested. For example, the first one, assimilation, generally it just has the one meaning. And it comes from the Latin simil, the same. Making everybody the same. Assimilation, making people the same. So that's not a very controversial one, really. Except that some people think this would be a good thing, and some people think this would be a bad thing. But the meaning is fairly clear. The second one is one which is often misunderstood, especially in France. This is the idea which originally comes from a play written by a Jewish man in London in the very beginning of the 20th century, called about America, called The Melting Pot. And now you need to remember that the original meaning of this, it has changed a little bit. The original meaning of this is the melting pot. Yeah? You get people from, in America, people from Germany, people from Russia, people from Mexico, and you melt them down and they become Americans. They become all the same. So in melting, it's a very hot situation, their original identity disappears and they get a new one. That's the original meaning of melting pot. Melting, yeah, and creuser, yeah, you actually get melted. Doesn't sound a lot of fun, does it, being melted? But, you know, it could be. But today, especially in French, quand on dit un melting pot, souvent on veut dire simplement un mélange, hein? Donc c'est utilisé de façon très approximative, hein? Surtout en français. Institutional racism, and we'll be talking about this in a bit. Very simple idea. Institutional racism is the opposite of individual racism. Yeah, individual racism, well, that person's racist, that person is not. That person's racist, that person is not. Yeah, institutional racism means it's in the structure. It's in the structure. And we will be looking at what a conservative judge said about this in a moment. Multiculturalism, again, people argue about what exactly does this mean, but it's got the idea of many cultures, and so it is a little bit of an idea that each person comes to Britain and they can keep their own culture. That's a general idea. This is not such an easy concept, because what does that mean, your culture? Yeah, I mean, if you live in London and your grandparents were Irish, or your grandparents were West Indian, or your grandparents were Indian, what exactly is your culture and what is not your culture? These are not easy questions. But in general, it's considered that multiculturalism is a British approach to modern societies. And just to give you one example, if I go to the library, the municipal library in my mother's town, she lives in the north of England, and I go in, and here you have the books in English, most of them, and here you have the books in Gujarati, and here you have the books in Punjab, because those are the two biggest languages spoken in the town. And having all these different languages in a municipal library in Britain is automatic. It's not controversial. I live in Montreuil, in the région parisienne, and when I go into Montreuil Library, as you know very well, yeah, here are the books in French, and that's the end of the story. Except for the, foreign. That's not quite true, actually, because they have novels in English. Yeah. But they do not have a big section in Arabic, for example, which would be if the same town was in England, they would, because that would be the second thing. That's just one example. Yeah, libraries are not the centre of social life, but that's just one example of where it's been different in Britain. And one of the reasons for this is that in France, I think, my impression is that if this situation was to change, it would be the government would decide to change it. And in Britain, typically, hospitals and schools and universities and libraries are organised regionally. So you have a big difference from one town to another. Even the schools. If you go and learn history in Manchester, you won't learn the same thing as if you go to learn history in Newcastle. Yeah, there's a lot more regional autonomy, which is considered by some people to be a very good thing and by some people to be a very bad thing. But it's certainly very British to have lots of regional autonomy. Yeah, anti-racism. Okay, that's not so hard to understand. Integration is a difficult one because I think this is one which has a lot of different meanings for different people. Obviously, integration means that you are not left outside. That's the basic meaning. But what exactly does it mean? What is the difference between integration and assimilation? There is no precise difference. People have different opinions on what the difference is. Yeah, so it has contested meanings. Yeah, integration. Yeah, it's obviously better than disintegration, which does not sound a lot of fun at all. Okay. Recently, you have a new concept in Britain. They've been talking about community cohesion. That's the idea that everybody in London should feel part of the same community. This is difficult to measure and difficult to change, but this is the idea, your community cohesion. And sometimes in some debates, you have an argument where people say, the most important thing is multiculturalism. And the opposition say, no, the most important thing is community cohesion. Now, these are difficult because they're not very precise concepts. Yeah? I mean, nobody can be against cohesion. On the other hand, these are the debates which go on. And we'll be looking at some of those. And very last thing then, citizenship, which in France has always been a very strong idea, la citoyenneté, because of the French Revolution, yeah? The same rights for everybody. Whereas in Britain, this is a new concept, really. We didn't used to talk about citizenship. But today, this is becoming much stronger. So, for example, if you come from a foreign country and you move to England and you want to live there and you want to become British, you have to pass a test, a citizenship test. And this is... you study for it, yeah, and you have to know a lot of things. And this has been very controversial because the content, there's no agreement on what the content should be. And some of the people who are rather hostile to this citizenship test have said that many English people who have been in the country for generations would not know the answers. Yeah. So you're supposed to know how the electoral system works and so on and so forth before you're allowed to become a citizen. They also have now citizenship ceremonies. So when you become British, 40 years ago, if you became British, you received your passport through the post. Today, you go to the town hall and they give a big speech and they're welcome to your citizen. So they make it into this big ceremony, yeah? Again, which is about symbols and so on. Some people think this is a wonderful idea and some people think it is not. Okay, just some of the concepts that we're going on with. I'm going to start with the three parts of this. I'm going to start with a few photographs from London, just to point up some of the specificities of Britain. Then I'm going to go for the history of the biggest immigrant communities or ex-immigrant communities in Britain, and finally a history of racism and anti-racism. I always do a history of racism and anti-racism because the history of racism is depressing, whereas the history of racism and anti-racism is a little bit more cheerful. Here we have a shop. I took the photograph myself in London. Mbagang, you can see that it's not an English word. It's a word which sounds like... Oh, and there you go. It probably comes from Cameroon. Why did I take this picture? What is a little bit amusing about it? Yeah? You got an idea? What is a little bit amusing about it? Nope. Okay. Now, what is a little bit amusing about it? Oh, a taste of Cameroon. Come to our shop and you can buy things which are typically from Cameroon in Africa, like espresso, cappuccino, panini. Yeah? Okay, that's it's just a joke, yeah? It's just to show the mixes you can have, yes? The taste of Cameroon, espresso, cappuccino. So this is what we have today. Of course, we have the mix. Everything gets mixed together. Here's another one. Yeah. Royal kebab, traditional fish and chips, halal. Yeah. Traditional halal fish and chips. Yeah, so you get everything mixed. This is London. Everything is mixed together. Traditional fish and chips, of course, is a 19th century invention. Most British traditions were invented in the 19th century. For example, the royal family. Not the monarchy. The monarchy is very, very old. But the royal family, where all of the newspapers were interested in the princess and the marriage and the children and so on, this is a 19th century invention. And in the 19th century, they invented the Queen's birthday. You know the Queen has two birthdays, the actual day she was born, and the Queen's official birthday when they have a celebration. This is a 19th century invention. Many traditions were invented in the 19th century. Here we have a little example from a school. Just an ordinary school, just a random school. I don't think you know if you can see it very well there. This is a school in Birmingham, a primary school. And you can see school event, Eid Mela Fun Week. That is to say, they're organising a special games week because it is Eid. That is because it is a Muslim festival. Typical in a British school like this would be to have a Christmas party at Christmas and an Eid party and a Hanukkah party. That they would just celebrate like most of. Diwali, have their Diwali party. They're just like general, a very different option from French schools where you would never, nor very often you will not have Christmas, too much Christmas even in French schools. It's certainly not celebrations for Eid and Hanukkah and so on. So this would be typical of British multiculturalism, that a school would automatically have a special event because it is Eid, the end of Ramadan, and also for several other things during the year. It's quite funny what it says in detail. I'd have to read it to you. We celebrated Eid al-Adha at our school with the support of the community. We had a visit from Jeffrey the giraffe from Toys R Us. Yeah, so on the one hand, it's kind of, you know, celebrating different religious festivals. On the other hand, Jeffrey the giraffe does not appear in the Quran. Now, I don't know the Quran very well, but I don't think that Jeffrey the giraffe appears there. So it's a kind of, you know, more of a festive sort of approach. And here, I'm sure if you've been to England, you've seen this side of it, which is that public servants are not expected to leave at home any religious symbols and so on. So these are all police officers, and you can see on the right a police officer who is a Sikh, and on the left a woman police officer who is a Muslim. And in fact, the uniform includes—it's not just that they are allowed to wear them; that there is a special hijab for the police uniform. So again, this is an option which has been taken in Britain, and people often wonder why. And the reason is not what it appears to be. People have a lot of different opinions about it. I don't really mind what your opinion is. If you think this is wonderful or terrible, that doesn't matter. The important thing, well, it does, but not for my classes. The important thing is to understand it. And the most important thing is that in Britain, for 200 years, they have found a tradition for dealing with religious diversity because there is a big Catholic minority. England is 100 years ago, was like 85% Protestant and 10% Catholic. So there was always a tension around religious difference, and the British solution was to include in the public life expressions of different religion. And that is the most important reason why, when we had more and more Muslim citizens, religious diversity was a problem which was already solved. And that's why the solution is different. Whereas France, where the Protestant minority was much, much smaller, and it was really a Catholic country, did not react in the same way. And indeed, multiculturalism today for Britain has become a kind of official flagship. Yeah, that Britain likes to give the impression to the world we are more multicultural than everybody else. Yeah, now, it may be true, it may not be true. You know, but that's part of it. And certainly, when they had the Olympic Games in 2012, they had their most famous British rapper on the front of the stage. You know, so this is about the Olympic opening ceremony is extremely important. I think there were 800 million people watching it. Yeah, so it is really the image of the country. And it was very important to the British government to present multiculturalism as the flagship. And there you have Dizzy Rascal. So just begin with a few statistics. Where do immigrants come from? I will try. If somebody reminds me when we've got to the end of the topic, I will put this on the blog, the actual thing. Yeah, but only if somebody reminds me. That's not hard. Send me an email. I don't mind you photographing it. No, I do. Okay. Okay. Where do immigrants come from? The top dozen places from 1841 to 2001. I don't know if you can see it. It's a rather long way for you at the back. But in 1841, so a long, long time ago, the big, big, big majority of immigrants, almost all the immigrants, were from Ireland. Yeah, Ireland. And Ireland is the green, is the light green one at the bottom, Republic of Ireland. And it's continual. In fact, you know, they just, very often this is seasonal migration, where people go, young Irish people find a job in London and work there for a few years, and then they find a job in Ireland. Yeah, it's almost not really immigration, in a way, because they can go home at weekends even. What begins to arrive in 1851? The brown one, the British Empire. Germany and Poland, if you look at the blue and the yellow at the top, Germany and Poland begin to get importance around here. Bigger and bigger. This is a time when it's very dangerous to be Jewish in Germany or in Poland, and this is a Jewish immigration coming to England because it's just too dangerous. Especially Russia. Yeah, Russia is the purple one underneath. We'll be looking at this. You can't see them all, but that was it. And then after 1945, after the war, there you see then more and more from India, Pakistan, and we say in British English, we say Asian. If you hear the word Asian in British English, it means Indo-Pakistani, which is bizarre in a way, because l'Asie, c'est beaucoup plus grand que ça. When you say in British English Asian, it means from Southeast Asia, India, Pakistan, and Bangladesh. That's why you must not translate Asiatique, because it doesn't work. Yeah, because when we say Asiatique in France, we think Vietnam, China, things like that. Yeah. Okay, and then right at the end if you look at 2001, right at the end, you can see that Germany and Poland are getting important. In the middle, the light blue one, Caribbean, the West Indies, les Antilles anglophones. Okay, so that's the sort of basic structure there. And what is the percentage of the UK population that comes from these 12 places altogether? You add up all the people from these 12 places, and you can see at the beginning, in 1841, it was 2.5%. Today, it's 4%. So this is people who were born abroad, yeah? This is people who were born abroad, yeah? True immigrants, people like me who were born abroad. So you can see that really it's not never got to a huge number. And indeed, the question of multiculturalism and diversity is mostly a question about people who were born in Britain, because that's the vast majority of multicultural and diverse people are born in Britain. Oui, ça c'est un peu trop compliqué, on va pas faire ça. Just then, the last one for today, this is from Poland, and you can see that in the last 20 years, there was an enormous rise in the number of Polish people working in England. This is because they joined the European Union, so they had the right to come to Britain. Why did they come to Britain and not to France? Because they learnt English at school and not French. And it's much more scary to go to a country where you don't speak the language. And also the Polish speak very good English, the ones in England. You can see that very rapidly you get 300,000, 400,000. Oh, the other big difference is the economic difference, of course. Basically, if you work in a cafe in London, you make more than if you work as a teacher in Poland. So it's very attractive, especially for young single adults, because they say, oh, I'll go to England for 5 years, and then I'll come back, not with a huge amount of money, but with a lot more money, with enough money to set myself going in Poland. And this is why very often these are young adults who may stay, but may easily go back to their parents when their parents get older. Thank you for your attention. That's all we have time for this week.